This podcast includes information provided by the issuer and does not express the views of the interviewer. This podcast may also include forward-looking statements by the issuer that involve certain risks and uncertainties to its business. Because forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, the issuer's actual results could differ from those indicated in this podcast. Welcome to the Planet Microcap Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Kraft, and thank you all so much for the support and for tuning in. And a special thank you to those of you who have recently rated and reviewed Planet Microcap on iTunes. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Bobby K. Kraft. That's at BobbyKKraft. This is a special podcast episode with a previous guest on the podcast, Maj Swaydan from geoinvesting.com. We actually did our first interview about a year ago around this time, and I wanted to do an episode reviewing what happened in the microcap space in 2016, and as a newsletter writer and full-time investor, Maj provides his thoughts on the year that was. Thank you again for tuning into every episode of the Planet Microcap Podcast. Please enjoy my interview with Maj Swaydan, but first, a word from our sponsor. Hey everybody, Robert Kraft here, your host on the Planet Microcap Podcast. I'd like to take this moment to invite you to join me and some of the guests you may have heard on this podcast to our annual Microcap Investor Conference, the Planet Microcap Showcase, April 26th through April 28th, 2017 at none other than the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. The Planet Microcap Showcase will be 2.5 days of company presentations, networking opportunities, an educational workshop, and you'll get to meet privately in one-on-one meetings with company management of undiscovered and well-known microcap companies. There are a lot of surprises in store, and you're not going to want to miss it. So join us at the Planet Microcap Showcase, April 26th through April 28th at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. For more information, go to www.planetmicrocapshowcase.com and register now to reserve your spot. See you in Vegas. For this special episode of the Planet Microcap Podcast, I have Maj Swaydan from geoinvesting.com on the program. Maj, welcome back to the Planet Microcap Podcast.
Hey, how you doing, Robert? Thanks for having me on today. Pleasure.
Pleasure as always. Thank you for joining me. So before we get into today's topic, you know, for those who may have missed our first interview, which was, I believe, episode, you know what? I'm not going to give a number. I've messed that up before. So for those who may have missed that, our first one, what is your background and, you know, your experience investing in microcaps?
Well, I've been a full-time investor now for, you know, close to 30 years now. I started investing in college in the late 80s. Became a, I guess, for all practical purposes, a full-time investor, you know, in 94 after working at Vanguard for a couple of years. But really, I was making a lot of my income from investing even before that. Mm-hmm. And during my work at Vanguard, I have a degree in finance. But learned most of what I do today from actually just real-life experience investing in stocks. And you know, kind of jump right in there, and I really am attracted to small cap and particularly micro cap companies because of the information arbitrage opportunity it gives investors, and I'll be able to find information before, you know, other investors with good research and, you know, profit from that knowledge. Mm-hmm. And today I run a website called geoinvesting.com, which is a website launched that I co-founded in 2007, I believe it was, with my partner, Dan David. And, you know, we spend a lot of time bringing great ideas to our membership base and sourcing ideas from our members and turn into a great social platform and a great way to find hidden opportunities in the American market.
You know, so we're coming up on the end of 2016. And, you know, what I want to know is what in your opinion, let's do like a review of 2016. In terms of microcap stocks, you know, what was the space like for 2016? What was going on?
I can only tell you from my experience and experience talking to other investors what kind of happened. You know, we entered 2016 after a pretty tough end of the year, 2015, if you recall. We had the market kind of started falling towards the end of 15, end of 16. So it really put some pressure on a lot of the market in general and a lot of wire caps. Generally, I thought in 2015 the space was getting healthier, and you know, things happened towards the end of 15. You know, oil crisis, and at the end of the year, we had the market, you know, kind of getting weak, which kind of took a lot of I think the vigor out of some of the rally we started seeing, some of the better health we started seeing in the wire cap space. And then 16, basically, I thought for most of 16, really. It was still a tough environment if you're a wire cap investor. The stocks in that space really not holding their gains. It was taking a long time for stocks to react to good news. Wasn't a lot of liquidity in the space. There's obviously less liquidity in general in the wire cap space compared to other capitalizations, but it was even like just getting worse and worse, I thought. So it was a tough year, and it was basically, it's something we talked about, I think, in our podcast you had with me in Vegas. We talked about some of the things that were negative things that were affecting being a stock picker in the wire cap space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of that, such as the time horizon of investors has gotten a lot shorter. For example, at one time, pre-2008, you know, the time horizon for individual investors was as much as, 6.5 or 5.5 years. Today, it's less than 6 months. So that just caused a lot of volatility in stocks in general, and including the wire cap space. A lot of individual investors since 2008 became risk averse. So they a lot of them didn't want to hold stocks for a long period of time. So that caused more volatility in space. And then when you take into account the fact that a lot of investors just exited the space in general, you just have a lot of less money in that space too. So, and that type of, that trend that had been going on for several years, I think, still played out in 2016. Mm-hmm. And the volatility we had entering in 16 didn't help that case. But throughout 16, I still saw it. I still believe that investors slowly started coming back into the space. Maybe were used to be in it, that weren't any, that are getting, they're getting back into it. I thought that, and still think that a lot of the global uncertainty happening around the world was good for wire cap companies because they're not exposed to those factors as much as bear cap companies are. And Brexit was a great example. When Brexit occurred, and it was in July, right? When the market crashed, or I want to say crashed, was corrected about 5% or so, the wire cap stocks felt pretty healthy. You started seeing a rotation of money coming into wire cap companies because investors started getting it that a lot of these things were affecting larger capitalized companies who are exposed to global risks. We're basically seeing a lot of these risks come true. And I think investors started putting, putting it all together and saying, hey, maybe it's time to start getting into wire cap companies. Mm-hmm. We saw some rotation happen at that time. And what was interesting, we got pretty excited about that, that maybe that would last throughout the whole year. And then you had the uncertainty election come up towards the end of the year, where I don't know if a lot of investors saw this, because if you were investing in big caps and, in larger caps, mid caps, you didn't see some of these, what was going on in the wire cap. And right before the election, maybe 6 weeks prior to that, the wire cap market, the stock just dropped like flies. Pulled back tremendously, 20, 30, 40%. Couldn't really figure out what was going on there. And I think that obviously had to do with some of the uncertainty of the election. Mm-hmm. And I think you saw a lot of capitulation at that time. And then, of course, we've seen what's happened with the, Russell and the small cap, wire cap indexes since, Trump has been elected, won the election here. and the fact that he wants to put in a lot of friendly kind of domestic friendly type of policies. And we've seen a lot of money come into the space. What's interesting right now is that a lot of these companies are holding their gain. And, you know, a lot of the policies that, you know, Trump wants to put in place, you know, theoretically, they aren't going to be great for large cap companies particularly. So money's got to move somewhere. And with rates so low, you know, it's still got to be a stock market. And we're starting to see an inflow come in, a strong inflow of capital come into the large cap companies. And they're staying, or at least for now at least. And a lot of these companies are holding their gains. A lot of these companies are starting to raise money. They're able to raise some money, which is nice and healthy. So I'm pretty optimistic right now that, at least in the near term, that trend should continue. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful at least, and I'm happy to see it, that investor kind of coming back to the small companies. Mm-hmm. I actually put out a survey on Twitter asking, you know, the survey was like how many investors that, you know, were kind of never really thought about the best market cap companies are starting to think about that right now. And it was like a 50-50 split. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us, yeah, I thought that was interesting. And I think the rally we had the last, you know, several weeks here maybe is reason for that. But it tells me something, I think, right? Mm-hmm. That maybe there's hope for the space just around the corner. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think, you know, overall, I think 16 was a tough time. Unless if you were an all-time layer cap investor like myself, you know, it still wasn't what it used to be. Mm-hmm. Well, many stocks still do well. Mm-hmm. And more than I've seen in previous years, and at least personally experienced in the last, you know, couple of years. And thankfully, a lot of them are starting to hold on to their gains right now.
So Maj, what you said something interesting that a term that I've heard before, but I was just, you know, I'm curious what you mean by it. And that's this term like a healthy market. You know, what is a healthy versus an unhealthy market? What does that mean?
Well, from my perspective, it's like, you know, the system, the market works. You know, a company reports good earnings, and, you know, and if it's undervalued, investors find it and they bid the shares up, you know, in a relatively expedient process. Mm-hmm. That to me is healthy. And stocks, you know, they hold their gains. But I consider it to be, you know, less productive, I guess, from if you're a long-term investor, you know, from having stocks basically that have went up on fundamentals. Maybe 50, 60, 70, 100% lose most of that in a few trading days based on, you know, basically, you know, no fundamental reason at all. And that has to do a lot, I think, what we talked about earlier, with being a lot of investors having a shorter time frame. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and look, and I just think that more money coming in to this space is healthy in general. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think more stability, better reaction, you know, better consistent reaction to, you know, positive fundamentals is what I mean by healthy scenario. Mm-hmm.
And recently you also published an article about, you know, there being a reason for optimism in the microcap space. So you care to comment on that or maybe expand upon, you know, some of the points you hit on in that article?
Well, look, I think it's the same. Kind of the same thing I've been talking about. One of the things I talked about is reversion to the mean. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, it's something, things can't be bad forever. Mm-hmm. And that they eventually turn. You need a catalyst to turn it. And the catalyst, in my opinion, is and has been this global chaos, whether it's oil prices, whether it's currency and volatility, the volatility in currency, whether it's, you know, uncertainty about where interest rates are going. All these things really impact the big cap companies' balance sheets more than smaller companies with little debt, for example, and more exposure just to domestic economy. Mm-hmm. So that's really the, you know, and I think that's some of the major catalysts that are going on in health in this space. Mm-hmm.
you know what? We're gonna take a trip back in time to like the same time in 2015, going into 2016. You know what was it? What did you see going on at that time that you were hoping to see in 2016 that may or may not have happened? You know, can you comment on that?
Yeah, look, I was hoping to see more stability in the wire cap market, mm-hmm. More excitement. I was expecting to see a rotation. Institutional investors, you know, investment banks, you know, start putting some of their money into the wire cap space. I don't think they did. I think they are now, but I didn't think I was hoping that would come a little. That would have happened earlier, going into 16. Mm-hmm. You know, and what's interesting is this, and I can get you this article. I forgot what magazine I was reading. I was reading it a few weeks ago, and I actually was on my article, and I saved it. I'll send you a link, but apparently, you know, private equity firms, hedge funds right now that were historically involved in activism type of roles, mm-hmm. That would normally invest basically have that role investing in larger cap companies are making their way down the food chain to wire cap companies. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty big percent. That tells you something. That tells you that, you know, eventually the value, this undervaluation in the space will not go unnoticed, and I think that's helping right. That's helping right now too. And I think that's going to be an increasing. That's going to be a steam going into 17. You're going to see a bigger role taken by private equity firms, activist role in the smaller cap, minor cap space, which will increase hopefully merger and acquisition activity. Which will hopefully bring valuations higher as investors anticipate that happening. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited about that. You know, we actually kind of played that role this year a little bit, one of the funds we were following, actually. Mm-hmm.
So what were like some of the sectors that you saw in 2016 that you thought were, you know, some noticeable happenings, I guess I'd say, during this year?
Like I'm more of a company-specific type of stock picker. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily look at pickers so much. I mean, obviously, beyond the obvious, like companies that were affected by, you know, lower oil prices, you know, in that industry, mm-hmm. obviously they took a hit. But, you know, I'm very, you know, I don't pay too much attention to this sector. I think I'm really a buy guy. Hey, find me good companies in any sector. They're doing well. Mm-hmm. And if that company is in a bad sector but doing well and I can probably get cheap, I'm happy for that. I'm happy to see that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say?
There are certain themes, sorry to interrupt you there, but that we did play in 15. It was the infrastructure theme, where investing in companies that were helping rebuild bridges, buildings, infrastructure, and the energy grid in the U.S. And that's a theme that worked really well for a couple of years, and now people are talking about it working well going into 17. So that's been a pretty consistently rewarding theme if you played it right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one last question in talking about in 2016. You know, what were some of the characteristics that you saw for some of the more companies that had a better year than others? You know, what was the same characteristic across the board that you saw?
I think it's, you know, for me, it's always the same thing. It's, you know, trying to find, you know, management teams, you know, that understand not only how to run a business, how to run their company, and can articulate it well to investors, but, you know how to manage your capital structure too, you know, and understand that maximizing shareholder value means, you know, growing the company responsibly, you know, and not diluting the interest of shareholders. And I think, you know, that's a team that works almost, you know, that works, that I look for in any kind of market anytime. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really important, especially these days, because there's a lot of companies that mismanage their business, not only their business, but mismanage, you know, the way they, you know, treat their shareholders. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important right now, there's a lot of ways that social media can expose bad management teams and misrepresentation and fraud. Mm-hmm. That companies that understand that, I think, have an advantage over those that don't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's the same thing always, Robert. You have strong management teams that understand that maximizing shareholder value is as important as running a great business.
So, Maj, where can our audience go and find more information about you and Geo Investing?
If you go to geoinvesting.com, geoinvesting.com, mm-hmm. you can also type in Go Investing. That'll also get you mm-hmm. to the same page, you know, and go there and you can read about, there's a tab there that's called about our co-founders. You can read about myself and my partner, Dan David. You can get a good flavor of what we do, and we offer a seven-day free membership trial too. We have some free services and premium services. Basically, as a member to GeoInvesting, you get every day you get a morning email alert which talks about our research. And we're not just about, you know, this isn't about the stock picks with us or, you know, what we're doing, what we're buying. We're here to, we like to educate the subscriber, show them how we do our research. I think they really appreciate that. So if you're an investor that really wants to save time doing research, you can use our tools to do that.
Maj, I want to wish you a very happy holidays and new year, and I'll see you in 2017, I think in Vegas, right?
Yeah, I'm excited to be on your panel, and I can't wait for that. I was really enjoyed being part of your conference this past in 2016, mm-hmm. and look forward to it in 2017, and I think Chris Irons is going to be there with us presenting too. Also, people know him as Quote the Raven, and I think he'll be there too as part of representing Geo Investing.
Dude, I'm so excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Should be fun, yeah.
Cool. All right, Maj, well, I'll let you go. Thanks again for joining me, and we'll talk soon, okay, bud?
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you all for tuning into this special episode of the Planet Microcap podcast. And thank you, Maj, again for coming on to the program. You can access the podcast by going on to stocknewsnow.com under podcast. Go to podbean.com and search Planet Microcap podcast, or on iTunes and search Planet Microcap podcast. Stay tuned for the next Planet Microcap podcast, where we'll have our next guest to discuss all things microcap. If you have any questions or comments about the podcast, please send an email to info@stocknewsnow.com. I'd love to hear from all of you. This podcast has been brought to you by SNN Incorporated, publishers of StockNewsNow.com, the official microcap news source, and the Microcap Review magazine. I'm your host, Robert Kraft, and thank you again for joining me on the Planet Microcap podcast. Have a great week, everyone.